Nell, thank you so much for giving me time out of your busy schedule, mainly because you're a legend, and it's not every day I get a chance to talk to a legend, so my questions may be all over the place, but one thing I do know, you're going to be here on November 7th at the Punchline Comedy Lounge right here in Southfield, right outside Detroit.
Yes, I will be there, and it will behoove everybody listening to come on out and check me out.
Well, yeah, I need them to see you in person, mainly because, like I said earlier, I don't get a chance to talk to a legend. You've been around, you know a lot of stuff. And actually, in preparation for this call, you know, I tried to do a little bit, get my questions together. And you type in Lunell, you robbed a bank? I mean, like, I saw the Ice-T thing. It's like bank robbers, it's you and Ice-T. And that's the first thing that popped up on Google today. What happened with that?
What did Ice-T do? Oh, my God.
Like, Ice-T was going on into, like, when he was younger, coming up in a rap game, how sometimes money wasn't a commodity. So he had to rob jewelry stores and banks. And the story right under his was yours. Was you? You robbed a bank. What's going on out here?
Well, this is, of course, 23 years ago, and I was in Long Beach, California, when I did the crime. I did it by myself. It's really technically called embezzlement, because I worked at the bank that I robbed, and I did it. And that's just what it is, you know?
Oh, you put it inside, man.
Yeah, no, I work alone, baby. I work alone. So anyway, that's, you know, I did that. I did my time in jail after about over 10 years of being on the run. But had it been a lesser amount, I would have literally got away clean. But because it was such a large amount, $50,000, it became a felony, and felonies never go off your record. You can be arrested for a felony at 80 that you did in 17. So, you know, when I had my baby, and I had applied for WIC at that time, the Social Security numbers crossed up, and that's how they found me up in the Bay Area, and got my ass, took me away from my baby, and transported me back to Long Beach, and I did my 4 months and 18 days in Twin Towers Correctional Facility in L.A.
All right, well, that's all over. Man, it was just weird seeing that, because I'm getting ready for this interview, and then you do the last little Google check, and that's what pops up. I'm like, whoa.
I don't know what to say. I don't fucking regret it, because I learned my lesson. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Everybody don't learn their lesson, but I learned mine. I wouldn't take a dollar off a pool table these days, but... You know, nobody can tell me about jail I've been. Nobody can, you know, fabricate any stories, because I know exactly what I'm talking about. So, and it'll be good for me in acting down the road when I have to play a prisoner.
Well, you know the role. You lived it. But speaking of about all of that, you just wrapped up 3 months in Vegas. How does it feel going back on the road? I mean, going to Vegas and all.
Well, I didn't wrap up 3 months in Vegas. I'm actually still there every Sunday night until January 5th. Sunday nights at 10, I can be seen at the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club, which he just said on his show the other night, because I was on Jimmy Kimmel, whether you know it or not. And then what you might see that I wrapped up was I had a residency prior at the SLS Hotel and Casino. We wrapped that residency up, but now I'm at Jimmy Kimmel. I've been there for some months. I'll be there through January 5th. I'll be there on New Year's Eve. It's a lovely club in Vegas, and, you know, Jimmy Kimmel is a wonderful person to work for, and it's all good.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, like, if they can't see you live here in Detroit, they can see you there. But one thing, I have been seeing you a lot and just popping up in TV. Just, I've seen you in the middle, Always in Sunny, Head Case. A lot of my shows on my DVR got you in it in some way, shape, or form. And, I mean, like, we all remember the specials, the Cat Williams special, Snoop Dogg, Jamie Foxx. One thing I always wanted to know, and lately, Dolemite, and now you involved in Coming to America 2 coming out. I mean, you are in a lot. I mean, a lot. One thing I always like people, you know, asking people who, you know, may be comedians, actors, can you guys watch yourself objectively? Like, when you watch it, can you watch the show that you in just like, and just watch it like me or anyone else watching it? Or do you just kind of mentally go back to that day you were filming?
Well, for me, I really only watch myself about twice, and then I don't watch myself anymore, because if I really knew what it was I was really doing, I'd be so embarrassed that I wouldn't do it anymore, and then there goes my career. I live a life of fearlessness, so I can't allow myself to get nervous or scared, or what are they going to think, because that'll take away my whole daring shit. Mm-hmm. But I must admit, I have watched Dolemite several times, and maybe three or four. And it's just so incredible. It's not because of me or that I keep rewinding my scene, although I do love my scene and I love Eddie. It's just that I knew Rudy, and I know how he would be so tickled with this happening. And it's such an inspirational story. So that's why I've been watching it, just for inspiration. But when I watch myself, I don't pick myself apart and go, oh, I should have said that, or I shouldn't have worn that. I don't do all that. I just watch it and enjoy it like anybody else and be like, girl, you are crazy.
One thing I'm curious about is that you took more of a mainstream approach with your career a little after Borat. What made you make that change instead of just being straight up comics into more
I'm not really in control of that. You know, that's like up to them to hire me, and I just go, you know, I have an agent, so I go on auditions. If they hire me, they hire me. And more mainstream and celebrity white folks have worked with me in major movies than black folks who I have worked with, but not in major motion pictures, except for the movie Never Die Alone with DMX, and with these Coming to America's and Dolemites and stuff like that. I haven't done a whole bunch of black movies, even the Fridays and stuff like that. I was never around or involved for anything like that. House Party or anything like that, I wasn't around. I lived in Oakland. But I have worked with Sandra Bullock, and I have worked with Adam Sandler, and I have worked with Liam Neeson and, you know, Alexandra Wentworth and stuff like that. So I've always liked acting before I even knew that I was going to do stand-up comedy. Oh. Mainly it was theater that I was doing at first. I went from theater into motion pictures and to television. And that's a really good route, because if you do theater, then you're already overstaged, you're already used to working around people, you already can take direction and stuff like that. So it's easy to transcend. So I've just been out here doing whatever anybody wants me for. I try to say yes more than no. And, you know, even with old janky little, I got the hook up too, you know, or Mac and Devin go to high school. And I've done my share of black cult stuff, you know.
Right, right. And you talked about some of the people you work with, but before A Star Is Born, you also work with Gaga in the Telephone video, and you work with Bradley Cooper in All About Steve. Did that help, or was that still part of the process to get into A Star Is Born?
I think it helped. You know, if somebody has seen you in another film, I think it's good work. They already have like a little preview of what you're about and stuff like that, so. But it's, you know, like I said, it's not up to me. I want every job I go out for. But, you know, it's up to the casting directors and stuff like that. And like in Dolemite, I actually auditioned for the part of Lady Reed like 6 times. But they gave it to Divine Joy Randolph, which I think was a better choice. It was better for me to play the AT, and she was better at playing Lady Reed. That's casting decisions. And they know who they like and they know who they want. And I'm always glad when they like and want me, of course.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. But also, let's just stick on that. When you was at A Star Is Born, you were in good company. I mean, it was a lot of comics on set. You got yourself, Dave Chappelle, Eddie Griffin, Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah.
Did that make you feel...
That was because of Brandy and my relationship, it wasn't a big role. It was literally only 10 seconds, but it was there, and I get residuals, and I'm in there for life. And everybody saw it, and it was nominated for the Oscar. And so not really how big the role is, it's how big the movie is. And me and Brandy have worked together on the telephone video with Gaga and Beyonce. So I've already broken that ice as well. But, you know, it's all opportunities, honey.
I see. One thing, and I leave off A Star Is Born, mainly because this affected me. How many times did you end up singing that song in your head to Shallow? I watched that just thinking I'm just going to be cute watching with my wife. That song got stuck in my head for a better part of a month. What about you working on the song? I mean, working on the movie.
No, don't matter. It's a great song. It's a powerful song. And it does stick in your head, and I've sung it many, many, many times after I wrap the movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've worked with so many people who, if anyone, does make you starstruck. Are you starstruck? Could you be?
Yes, I get starstruck often because I just feel like a little girl in this business. I don't feel like one of them. I feel like me. I don't feel like one of them because primarily because my bag does not match my popularity. You know what I mean? We're trying to get that to catch up with one another. But yeah, I definitely still get starstruck for sure.
Okay. One thing, like I was reading you a part of the new Nipsey Hussle documentary. You still live like two blocks away from his murder. Does that play into it?
About the Nipsey situation?
Yeah.
I actually live two blocks from the Marathon Clothing where he got murdered. My neighborhood was the neighborhood that you saw in the aerial view with all the people in the street when they came down and made his victory lap past the Marathon shop to the cemetery, to the mortuary. That's all my neighborhood. I travel those streets every day just like he did. And it took a very deep effect on me. I just really went to a sad place because it happened in the midst of a bunch of other stuff. When Nipsey got murdered, then the next thing that happened was my publicist in New York died. Then I lost my residency. That was over. And then my friend John Singleton died. So it was like boom, boom, boom.
Man.
And I got very, very much in the dark hole because I do believe in his movement. I do believe in everything he was trying to say. He did know how to talk to the people who were down here. And they felt safe enough to not have bodyguard around that day. But that's when you get caught slipping. You don't get got until you get caught slipping.
Makes sense. One thing I wanted to kind of talk about, you've lately been linked to a bunch of Oscar award-winning, Grammy award, just award-worthy projects, and you said like sometimes you get these offers. But one thing, I did a little homework on this one, so don't get too mad at me. But I feel you always been around it because way back when you hosted Soul Beat, and that show is responsible for guys like MC Hammer, Digital Underground, Too Short. Does that, like the stuff you learned there or being around this, give you more of a headspace for what you're doing now?
Possibly, you know. Possibly.
No, we do a home.
Possibly.
Okay.
Any exposure that you get to anybody, you should learn something from everybody, you know. And I'm also proud to say that, you know, I had been around John Witherspoon, the late John Witherspoon, and had a chance to know him and, you know, feed off of him and stuff like that. And I tried to take something from everybody. I don't hang out with peers. I don't hang out with people my age. I hang out with older people. So I can learn something. Somebody my age, they can't tell me nothing. Somebody older who's been there, they can. So I used to hang out with some Ronaldo Reyes. I worked with Rudy Ray Moore like five times before, you know, it was over. And I used to listen to the Red Foxes and stuff like that, Llewellyn Page. So I'm entrenched in the culture. So some kind of way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And since we digging out some of those old names, I got one more old name for you. Rick Sullivan. He was the guy who gave you the original bad girl of comedy. That's your moniker. I'm curious, yes. How did that come about?
I mean, it's self-explanatory. I had a mouth on me ever since I started in the business, and I've, you know, used it quite to my advantage. I've never been scared or anything like that. I've just always done my thing, and I'm just really glad that that the time
caught
up with me.
Makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Time caught up with me. I've never changed. I was a bad girl before. And it didn't just have to do with my material or my mouth. You know, I was always good for slapping somebody down in the club or, you know, as I said, I robbed the bank. You know, I was a heavy, heavy drinker and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, now the times have caught up with me, and so I'm not having any problem anymore about my censorship. I have a college degree. I'm grown. I know where to throw it in and where to leave it out. So I don't even have to offend anyone, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Speaking about being a bad girl and being a grown-up, being an adult, I'm edging this question very carefully because I know who I'm talking to. You post for Penthouse a couple years back. I'm curious, how did that happen?
Yeah, just about 2 years back on the April Fool's edition of Penthouse magazine, I did a 6-page spread. I thought it should have got way more attention than it did. It wasn't bunk or anything. You never see no cooch or nothing like that. But we did it more like boudoir pictures. We did it more like you know, like, burlesque type photos.
Right.
And at the time, my daughter was coming out. I'm at the top of mom, you know, to spread my vagina lips open and think that's not going to affect my kid. The pictures are classy. I would show them to the queen. I ain't got no shame. I just thought that, but they were very innovative for Penthouse to shoot me. So they've never shot a woman my size, my age, or my color for Penthouse magazine, and I was the first. It went under the radar, though, but it was a wonderful experience, and I'm glad that I did.
I got a few more questions. I'll let you go, but during your time, I mean, you've seen so many changes in the comedy world. What sticks out the most now?
I guess the advent of the internet entertainer into the scene, you know what I mean? We didn't have any of that. I'm not hating on that anymore. I used to. But I just think that they are using the wrong word, because just because you're funny on Instagram doesn't mean that you can go out in these crowds and kill it for an hour and a half. There's no editing. There's no filters, no nothing like that. And I used to have a big, big problem with that, but I think the only problem now is the title. I wish it would be called internet, you know, entertainers, internet actors, something like that, you know, because after the internet, after you turn that phone off, you still got to be out here in the real world with real people. And, you know, while the internet is getting them a lot of attention, and in some cases a lot of money, I still am going to ride with the people.
Makes sense. And this is my last one, but during your time, I mean, what is something that you learned and that you still use to this day?
Uh-oh, hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was I saying?
I didn't hear anything. I asked a question. I thought you was thinking about it.
No, I'm sorry. I got a text while I was talking to you, and I got distracted. Oh, my daughter. I'm sorry. My daughter's actually a professional dancer. She got a part in Coming to America as well, and she's on set today filming something else. So she just hit me up set, and I was like, yeah. So we're both in the biz. Me and my daughter both in the biz. You can check her out. Her Instagram is Danielle Doe. ITSDANELLEDOEE. It's Danelle, though. And you can see what she's all about.
Okay.
She's a beast. You know, and I'm proud to say my daughter started dancing in church. She used to be a praise dancer. So that's where she got the bug at. And there's no better foundation to start anything than in the church house.
Mm-hmm.
You may not end up there, but, you know, to start there.
That's where you hone your skills.
Absolutely.
Oh, but what else? The last question I had, because I know I've eaten up a little your time, but what is something that you learned throughout your career that you still use to this day?
I was somebody asked me that the other day. I said the best advice I ever got was from Miss Laura Hayes, who was my homegirl. We just worked together last night on In the Cut. She's been my friend for over 35 years. And the best advice I ever got was to shut the fuck up and listen. Be quiet. Peace be still. Just listen. You learn so much more listening than you will run off at the mouth. You don't have to contradict everybody, even if they're telling a story wrong. You don't have to call them out. Just be quiet. Peace be still. So shut up and listen. So best advice I ever got.
Well, Lunell, I want to thank you for just giving me a little bit of your time. You're going to be here on the 7th of November at the Punchline, and I just thank you so much. You're a legend. I look up to you, and it's pretty cool just having this conversation. So thank you so much.
Hey, I appreciate you. And will you be coming out to the show?
You know I got to show up. Come on now.
You better show up and show out, bro.
There it is. Well, thank you so much, Lunell.
Okay, and you guys can also follow me on Instagram at Lunell, at LUENELL. That's my Instagram, and I do write back.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'll make sure I put that in this week's post, too, when we post it on Instagram.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that.
All right. We'll see you at the Punchline on the 7th.
You're the Punchline.
Thanks, Lunell.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.